Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. This is the reading of God's word. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also had said, and him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Work in us through your Spirit. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear your word, and our faith will grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, that all of us will hear your word, understand it, and believe it, and obey it to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, God. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, all the way to verse 35 is a one unit. And I wanted to look at verse 13 through 35 all, you know, today, but there's just no time for all that. So we're going to look up to verse 27, and we'll finish up to verse 35 next time. Our Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead in 3 days, and all of his people who once were the slaves of sin, the slaves of this world, and the slaves of Satan are also resurrected with him. The dawn of the new glorious world breaks. But the disciples still do not know what actually happened. But our Lord, our resurrected Lord, does not leave them in their ignorance. He comes to them. He teaches them. He opens their eyes. He explains the scriptures to them. He causes their hearts to burn. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. And our resurrected Lord does the same to all of us. The two disciples on their way to a village named Emmaus, these are not the part of now 11 disciples because of death of Judas. And the name of one of them is Cleopas, according to verse 18. Clearly not part of 11 disciples. There were many disciples of Jesus Christ, and they were filled with joy. Can you picture these disciples, these followers of Jesus before Jesus died on that cross? They were filled with hope, and they were following Christ. They believed that Jesus is the Messiah. But their problem was that they believe in the worldly Messiah, the political Messiah. The Messiah who will save the Israelites from the Roman Empire. Their problem existed because they misunderstood the Old Testament. They understood the Old Testament in terms of this world. Thus, they could not even imagine the capture and execution of the Messiah. To them, the word suffering does not go with the Messiah. Jesus, who they trusted to save them from the Roman Empire, well, he is now captured and killed. Thus, all their hopes just vanished. The strong earthly kingdom of God that they were so excitedly waited is no more. There will be no glory and wealth like that the kingdom of Solomon in the Old Testament used to have. All is gone. All is done. Thus, you could see the way to Emmaus. Perhaps these two disciples were going back to their homes because they feel there's nothing more to do now. So you could see the way to Emmaus was the way of disappointment, despair, and hopelessness. What do we do now? They ask themselves. And they are very afraid now. And a little angry also. All this because they do not know the truth. But our gracious Lord Jesus Christ does not leave them in their present ignorant state. You could see from our passage, he comes to meet them. So we begin verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. A village named Emmaus. We do not know exactly where this is today, but it was not a big city, nor a well-known city. And it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Two of Jesus' disciples were talking to one another as they walked towards that city. They were talking with emotions and passions as they talk about these things which had taken place. And the content of their talk, we could find them in verses 19 through 24, which you will look at later. But we go to verse 15. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. You could picture this, right? Jesus comes to them and he joins them. But, verse 16 says, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. These two disciples do not recognize the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this often in the Bible. Mary, in John chapter 20, also does not recognize the resurrected Lord. John 20, 14 and 15. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." What does this show? Well, this shows that the fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ during the church age is no longer the visible fellowship. Faith does not come from seeing. Bible is very clear, Romans chapter 10. Faith comes from hearing his word. But this whole world is about seeing. You know, there's a Korean saying, it's better to see one time than hear 1,000 times. But the Bible is very, very different. Our faith does not come from seeing. If that were so, if that was the case, then Israelites in the Old Testament, they saw so many miracles. And yet their faith never grew. We will see later that it is through God's word that the disciples will be able to see Jesus and have fellowship with him and believe in him. Verse 31 says, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. As soon as their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus, bam, he's gone. Why? Because it is no longer by seeing, it's by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, as we walk by faith, not by sight. And when we say we believe, what do we mean? We mean we believe what the Bible says, not what we saw. We go to verse 17, and he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Now Jesus teaches them. Jesus makes an opportunity to teach them the truth. In verse 18, one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of things which have happened here in these days? Now, Cleopas, we do not know who he is. Some biblical scholars believe that he is the same person as Clopas in John chapter 19, verse 25. But their Greek spellings are different. Anyway, he says, are you the only one visiting visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened here in these days? But as you know, in reality, it is these two disciples who do not know what really has happened. Now in Luke chapter 24, verse 19 through 24, he says what has happened. And let me read that to you. Jesus says to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people. And how chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he, Jesus, was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see." Now, when you read what Cleopas has said, verse 19 through 25, you could see that these two disciples, they know many things of the Bible. They know what the Bible says about the Messiah. And they knew Jesus as the Messiah. Verse 19, "Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people." So they know about this. Verse 21, "We were hoping that it was he, Jesus, who was going to redeem Israel." So they know that the Messiah will save Israel. And they were hoping that Jesus was the prophet like Moses that God has promised. As Moses saved the Israelites from Egypt, they hoped that Jesus would save the Israelites from the Roman Empire. And this was their understanding. We saw a similar response from the crowd when Jesus makes the dead son of the widow of Nain alive. Luke chapter 7, verse 16, "Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people.'" Here, when the crowd said, "A great prophet," they meant a prophet like Moses that God has promised in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, "Speaking of the Messiah, God says to Moses, 'I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him.'" And Moses was also described as a prophet mighty in deed and word. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, about Moses. "Moses was educated in all the learnings of Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds." But just like what we said before, these two disciples understood and they were waiting for the earthly salvation and the earthly Messiah who would accomplish it. Like we said, they understood the Old Testament only in terms of this world. They did not know that the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus Christ and all the things that he would do and accomplish. And Jesus will accomplish all things, but not in terms of this world. His salvation is not saving some people out of one part of this world and bring them to another part of this world. No, His salvation is bring His people out of this world and deliver into heavenly world. But these people, they understand the Old Testament only in terms of this world. And there are so many people who do this. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. This is a very important passage. Paul said, meaning God says it through Paul, but their minds were hardened. For until this very day, even during the New Testament time, until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, meaning the Old Testament, the first five books of Old Testament, we believe, is written by Moses. So whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So unless you understand the Old Testament in terms of Jesus Christ and what He does and accomplishes, you're just going to read it in terms of the world. So it's like a veil is covering your eyes and your hearts. You will never understand what it's saying. And this is what happens to so many people, even today, when they read the Old Testament. They don't understand that it is actually talking about Jesus Christ. So when they understand salvation of God, they see in the Old Testament nothing to do with Jesus. So they see God saving Israelites from Egypt. So they bring them to the land of promise, which was land of Canaan. So it's a completely earthly salvation. So many people will understand it that way. These disciples were understanding it that way. So they thought when the Messiah comes, they will say Messiah will save them out of Roman Empire and establish a earthly kingdom so that they could rule the world. But Jesus, He was captured and He was killed. So you could understand the disappointment that these disciples were having. And that's what happens today too. If you understand everything in terms of this world, even blessings, is a worldly blessing, then you're going to be disappointed in Jesus Christ. He never promised you anything worldly. You show me one. Oh, you're going to point to me in the Old Testament. Because only in the Old Testament that God blesses worldly things. But there was a type that was actually pointing to Jesus Christ and what He will accomplish later. So these people, they did not truly understand the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament must be understood in terms of Jesus Christ. And we will look at this topic, how you must understand the whole Bible in terms of Jesus Christ. Because I feel urged to bring at least one sermon on that topic. And we will do that after we finish up to verse 35. Jesus did not do what these disciples wanted him to do. Thus they were sad. They were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. What they are saying is actually correct at one level, but it is incorrect at the other level. Jesus is saving the true Israel, but not an ethnic Israel. And Bible clearly teaches us the true Israel is those who are in Jesus Christ. The salvation that Jesus brings is not the worldly salvation. What these disciples believed and desired was the earthly salvation for the earthly Israel. And that never happened. And there are some Israelites who were still waiting for that. They've been waiting 2,000 years. And they're still waiting for that day to come. With all this expectation that disciples had, Jesus is captured and killed. So can you imagine the disappointment and sadness? Verse 17, and they stood still looking sad. They do not know how the sufferings of Jesus, his death on the cross, and the true salvation of God are related and connected. You see, for anyone desire the things of this world, the earthly wealth and glory, the earthly health, the earthly success, when God truly bless him with the heavenly blessings, he will be disappointed and sad. These disciples, who seem to know the Bible pretty well, they could recite to you, they could tell you what it says, and yet they were not happy. They were sad, confused, distressed, afraid, and even angry. Why is that? You who say you believe in Christ, that you are his son, that he blessed you. Are you sad and angry even? It's only because you truly do not understand the gospel. We see it clearly here. These disciples, they were very confused and distressed and afraid and even angry. And reason? Because they do not understand the word of God. So we see Jesus Christ, the gracious Christ, he comes to them, he teaches them the truth. And this is our hope, that our Lord Jesus Christ will never abandon us. He will come, always, and he will teach us. He will make sure that we understand the truth. We will see this next week in more detail, but verse 32 says, were not our hearts burning with us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And verse 45, which we will see later, then he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see, it is always through the Word of God. Without God working in us to open our minds to understand the Bible, without He explaining the Bible to us, no one will be able to believe what the Bible says to us. It's not because we are smarter than other people that we get it. No, it's the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He's the only one who could teach us and give us faith. He will use pastors or teachers like me or any other people, but that's just Him using. But He is the one who works. Otherwise, people will always be confused and frustrated. And they will never recognize Jesus Christ, even though He's right standing next to them, walking with them. They will not recognize Christ. So we read verse 25 through 27, and He said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the scriptures." At that time, only scriptures they had was Old Testament. The Old Testament was written by the prophets of God. So, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Meaning that if they understood the Old Testament, which was written by prophets, correctly, then they will know the truth and believe the truth, believe in Jesus Christ and His resurrection and all that, because it was foretold. That is exactly what will happen. And the whole Old Testament testifies about Jesus Christ. And I'm not making this up. You read it yourself. Does Jesus, beginning with the Moses, beginning with Moses, why? The first five books of Old Testament is written by Moses. Beginning with Moses, and with all the prophets, because Old Testament was written by the prophets. So let me read that to you again. Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He, Jesus, explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the scriptures. So all the scriptures concerning Himself, it's about Jesus Christ. And I know when you go to Old Testament, you read it, you know, by yourself, it is very hard many times. You don't see Christ. You don't see Jesus in there. That's why you need teachers and you need pastors who study these things, so that they will be used by God to teach you how the scriptures are concerning Jesus Christ. And I've been preaching, almost 40 years now. And I didn't have time to preach the whole Bible. I think I did about one-third. And I'm very, very positive. Everything is about Jesus Christ. And we'll look at this in more detail, like I said, in later day. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? Do you see it there? Jesus Christ shows us the pattern of our lives through His life. And it's very simple. Sufferings in this world and glory in heaven. That's the pattern of our existence. This is why Paul says, well, God says through Paul, Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are to participate in his life. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And that's exactly how Jesus went back to his Father. After so many tribulations, even death. Oh, yeah. Of course, death. How else are we going to go to God? We have to die. We too, many, many tribulations later, will enter heaven to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say suffering, don't think suffering is only in terms of physical. You know, Paul even said that, you know how much physical suffering he went through, but at the end, he says that there are more, much painful suffering that he goes through, and him worrying about the church. And it is true. You might not think it. When I stand here, and I look out, and if I don't see you, I suffer. If you are at other church worshiping, then okay. But you gotta let me know. If you don't let me know, then I'm thinking, where is this person? What is he doing? Today is Lord's Day. We are here to worship God. If I don't know where you are, then I suffer. And this is not just showing you how great pastor I am. This is just how it is. We do this. When you see me sin, I know you will suffer. Just like I suffer when I see you sin. But we have God, and we could pray to him all the time. And I see it in our passage today. He does not leave us alone. He comes to us. He will teach us. He will open our eyes. He will open our hearts to know the truth. The disciples, the confusion, disappointment, sadness, doubt, slow to believe, and they don't even recognize Jesus Christ. But Jesus comes to them and teaches them his word. He opens their eyes. He explains the Bible to them. He causes their heart to burn as they hear God's word. He opens their minds to understand the scripture. He comes to them to witness that they are victorious over death. And he witnessed to them that all of God's plan will be accomplished exactly according to his word. Now the disciples will know the truth and believe the truth. And after they believe in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, they are ready to die for him. And they witness Jesus Christ. And you will see all that when you read the book of Acts. What's the difference? It's before knowing the truth and after knowing the truth. That's the difference. When they know the truth, they were ready to die for Jesus. See, they are certain. They believe. They are excited and they have joy. The fear has disappeared. They know Jesus Christ and they recognize Jesus Christ. All this is through the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, even today our Lord comes to us. What do you think this is about? When I'm preaching to you His Word, what do you think it is happening? Jesus comes to us even today. And He will do all these things for us. He teaches His Word. As He explained to us His Word, do our hearts burning inside of us. This is our reality. He gives us understanding. He opens our minds to understand the Scriptures. Through His Word, recognize our Lord Jesus Christ and have a sweet fellowship with Him and rejoice. You know, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I know. Because I'm exactly the same as you. We're all sinners. And you and I, we have walked many times on the road to Emmaus. Yes, we walked to Emmaus so many times. Confusion, disappointments, sadness, and doubts. But brothers and sisters, the next time you are on that road, recognize Jesus Christ who come to you, who came to you and joined you. He's with you. And rejoice. And believe His Word as He teaches you. And you will soon realize that you are no longer on the road to Emmaus. But they are that you are on the road to heaven with Him. Please, brothers and sisters, as soon as you recognize, as soon as you realize that I am on the road to Emmaus, because I'm full of disappointments and confusion and doubt. Look for Christ. He is right next to you. No, He lives in you. He will not abandon you. And He will teach you. And you will recognize Him. It's no longer road to Emmaus. It's road to heaven. Rejoice, brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are so good to us. Because You have forsaken our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross when He was bearing our sins. You will never forsake us, that You are always with us. Even through our disappointments, our pain, our confusion and doubts, You are with us, walking with us, guiding and leading, protecting all of us. So, Father, let us recognize You by Your grace, so that all the fears and confusion will disappear. They will rejoice because You are with us. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.